3 people and tell them you're going to have your best year yet. Heard one preacher say, this is the year where your highest expectations come true. Amen. I believe that. This is going to be my best year yet. Can you say that? You should be saying it. Somebody said, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, I don't know what you're going through, but I do know it's according to your faith that it's done unto you. So get your faith in motion. Begin saying, this is going to be my best year yet. Restoration happens this year. Full restoration happens this year in Jesus' name. Amen. Open up your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start off there in verse 27. We're going to look at 4 verses of scripture here this morning to start off this service with, that I hope are not only the foundation for this message, but perhaps the foundation for next year for you. I believe with all of my heart that this is a year of divine opportunity, a big opportunity. I've heard a lot of people say that, but I'm not just saying that to repeat them. I really feel as if in my heart that this year is just a big opportunity year. And we said this a couple of Sundays ago, that it's God's job to bring across the opportunities. The seasons of life are in His hands, and He controls them. Amen. And I believe that this year, He's opening up a season where there's just a big opportunity for those who want to jump in it and grab a hold of it to get some amazing things accomplished this year. But with that, we've got to bring our preparation. Remember we said a couple of weeks ago that success happens when opportunity meets preparation. We said it's God's job to bring the what? The opportunity. It's our job to bring the preparation. And God can bring the opportunity all day long, but until our preparation meets that opportunity, we'll never walk in victory. We said that this year will be one where there's either great victory because you were ready for the opportunity, or bitter disappointment because you realize God brought the opportunity, but I wasn't ready when it came. So my job as a pastor is to get you ready for all that God has ready for you. And one of the things that we all need to do this year is get our faith up, to turn our expectation on. This past Friday, me and my wife, we went and got coffee up at the Starbucks at Maywood Mart. I got the pumpkin spice latte. If you've never had it, get it. It's a little piece of heaven on earth. I encourage you to get it because it's a seasonal drink. They don't offer it all throughout the year. Although I saw one of my church members became a barista there. And so I'm hoping I can kind of get some favor and get it year round. We'll see. But anyway, we went and got coffee and just were having such a good time. I love spending time with my wife and kids, and we got in the car and got our coffee and was just driving around, and we went downtown to where our building is that we bought a couple of months ago down in downtown Poindexter, the Poindexter Park area there in Jackson. And we were just driving through the community and evaluating what we wanted to do with our faith and just getting vision in our heart for the community. And while we were doing that, just on the inside, the Lord really started dealing with me strong about the subject of faith. And I'm telling you, friends, God has given us a tool. I'll make it more specific. He's given you a tool that can change anything about your life. I don't care what needs to be fixed, what you want to see change or come up higher. I don't care what you need to see turn around. He's given us a tool that can enhance every relationship, can make things easier at work, on the job. God's given us a tool that can change entire communities. And the tool that He's given us is the tool of faith. It's a marvelous tool. And if you and I learn the principles behind it, we master, it is a skill, we master that skill, then our faith can produce marvelous results for us this year. The reason why I want to give you these four scriptures today is not just to give you a text to read while you're at church, but to give you the tools that you need to refine the skill called faith. If you refine this skill, nothing, and I do mean nothing, is impossible to you. But you got to practice it. It's just like any other skill, whether it's a skill to play the drums or a skill to play a keyboard or a guitar. It takes time to master those skills. You have to work at it and practice it. But the more you practice it and the more you work at it, the better you get at it. Faith is the same way. It's not just something that we can say we have. It's something that we must develop and practice every day. These scriptures help lay a foundation for you to begin doing that. Notice here in Matthew chapter 9, and let's look here in verse 27. It says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us." Now this is interesting. Jesus doesn't stop. Jesus and God, they are not moved by need. These two individuals were in heavy, heavy need. Blind. They needed healing. But Jesus didn't stop. God is not moved by need. If God was moved by need, then everyone would be born again because everyone needs to be saved. But God's not moved by need. God is not moved by crying. He's not moved by tears. If he was, he would have stopped. But he keeps walking here, and these blind men keep pursuing him. And watch what happens here in verse 28. "And when he was come into the house, he kept walking. The blind men followed him. They came to him. And Jesus said unto them," we're getting at the heart of how to produce change, "said unto them, believe you that I am able to do this." This is scripture number one. We're laying a foundation here. He turns to these blind men who have already been crying out to him. They're in need and they want that need met. Jesus doesn't stop at their cry until he gets to the house. And when he gets to the house, notice what he does. He puts the ball back in their court. They're saying, "Lord, we need you. Have mercy on us." He puts the ball back in their court and he says, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" God is not moved by need. He's not moved by crying. He's not moved by any of those things. There's one thing that moves God, and that's faith. Faith moves God. Without it, it's impossible to please him. Faith is necessary for miracles. Even in Jesus' ministry, they came to hear and be healed. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He needs faith in order to move. Romans tells us, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We are to live by faith. And he puts this ball back in their court and he says, "What do you believe I am able to do?" That's our first principle for this new year with our faith. I'm going to ask you the same question. What do you believe God is able to do for you this year? Faith demands a target. You remember Jesus talking over Mark chapter 11, verse 23? He says, "For whosoever shall say unto this mountain," he distinguishes a target, this mountain. Faith demands a target. What do you believe God is able to do for you this year? What do you believe God can do for you? Now, this is at the heart of faith, and this is why we teach along this line at the start of every year. Write down what you're believing God for. Write the vision. Make it plain so that you can run when you read it. Write it down. What do you believe God is able to do for you this year? That's foundational scripture number one. Let's go to the foundational scripture. Scripture number two, it's found in the following verse, verse 29. "Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your what? Be it unto you. Now, these two men were two men in need, right? They were blind men. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say, according to your need, be it done unto you. They needed healing, but it wasn't according to their need. If it was according to their need, they would have got healed as soon as the need arose. No, it's not according to the need. It was according to their what? Faith. This is principle number two. According to your faith, it is done unto you. Now, this is the words of Jesus. We can't just sweep this under a rug and pretend like it doesn't exist. You and I live according to our faith. Our faith produces our results in life. According to our faith, it is done unto us. It's not according to your job. It's not according to your paycheck every 2 weeks. It's according to your faith. If your faith goes up, your life goes up. If your faith stays at the same place it was last year, this year will not be any different, regardless of what opportunity God brings our way. Faith grabs hold of the promises of God. According to our faith, it is done unto us. What happens this year to you, it's not according to the economy. I don't care what goes on in Europe. I read the Wall Street Journal almost every day, and I still can't figure it out. It doesn't matter what's going on the job, what's going on the economy. It's not according to those things to you. It's according to your faith. And if your faith begins to waver at any of these other things, that's what affects your life. But it's according to your faith that it's done unto you. That's principle number two. Let's find principle number three, scripture number three, Mark chapter 9. Go over to the next book of the Bible. There's Matthew and then there's Mark. Mark chapter 9, and let's look at verse 23. Principle number one, what do you believe God is able to do for you? It's a brand new year. Get your faith up. What do you believe God is able to do? Principle number two, it will be done exactly unto you as to where your faith is at. According to your faith, it is done unto you. Here's principle number three. This one is crucial. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. When you get in faith, the enemy wants you out of faith. Because when you're in faith, it is going to produce in your life. So what he tries to do as he tries to make you waver. Come back Wednesday night, and I think we're going to talk a little bit more about this. We're teaching on prayer, and this is an important part of this. But he tries to make you waver, to back off your belief. And what he will do to you and to me is try to work up things, conditions, if you will, in the natural that look as if what you're believing for will never come to pass. In the natural, you could say it this way, it doesn't look possible. Does that make sense? You're looking at it, and man, you're in faith, you're going after it, but then something comes up and it looks like what you're believing for will never happen. Maybe you're in faith for a promotion, and then someone gets the promotion you thought you were going to get. Or maybe you're in faith to be debt-free, but then something happens and the amount of money you thought you were going to get, you didn't get. Those things are designed to make your faith waver so that you're in faith. Oh, all things are possible. But then something changed in the natural and it looks like what you're believing for is not possible anymore. When that happens, you need to come back to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Let's read it again. Why do we come back to it? Because notice what it says. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible. What's he's saying here that even in the natural, if it looks like it's not going to work, if you still believe it will work, all things then become possible again. In essence, to a believer, nothing is impossible. So whenever your faith gets to be shaken this year, come back to this and say, it doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I feel. In the words of Smith Wigglesworth, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. The only thing that moves me is what I believe. And I believe God's at work in this situation. When you believe right, all things become possible, no matter how impossible they seem in the natural. Here's principle number four. Go over to a couple of pages to Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. If I had it my way, and I don't always get my way, just ask my wife, but if I had it my way, all of you would have these scriptures memorized by the end of the week. Put them before you. Wake up every morning and get in them. Faith can change your world. But we got to refine this skill. We refine it by meditating on these scriptures. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in who? Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. This is principle number four, and it is crucial. Who are we having faith in? Our faith is in God. Our faith is in God. This year, it is not according to what you can do. This year is according to what you believe God can do through and for you. Have faith in God. You remember back in the Old Testament? God came and dropped a desire in the heart of Abram and Sarah. And he told him, you're going to have a child. And when Sarah heard it, she was so old at that point, she laughed. And it wasn't a laughter of joy. It was like a ha, 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 that'll never happen to me type laugh. She thought it was funny. And God came and spoke to her. And you know what he said? He said, Sarah, I heard you laugh. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And friend, I want you to get that. Our faith this year, when you get in faith for something, when you decide you're going to believe for something, it's not according to you anymore. Have faith in God, and with God, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. He can cure whatever you are facing. But you have to put your faith in him. I was telling second service, I was reading another book this past week. And in the book, it gave a story about a lady who went through some type of adversity. It didn't give exactly what she was facing, but I gathered that she was a single mother who had her husband divorced her. She walked away because she was left to provide for herself and her children. And she had always just been a housewife. She had never quite produced for herself or for her family financially. I'm guessing her husband had always done that for her. And so when that adversity hit her life, she had to go out and get a job. But she didn't have any skills that she had learned through college or anything to find employment. So the only job that she could get was a job in sales. And she decided that there was one product that she had used and knew, so she would go out and sell vacuums. At least she knew how it worked, knew about it. Well, she went out there without any type of training, no expertise, no Zig Ziglar CDs she had listened to on the art of the sell, nothing about like that. And she would make these phone calls to set up interviews to go show these vacuums, and every time they would tank. Now, finally, that got in her belief system that no matter how hard I try, this is not going to work. What's the good in even trying it anymore? She just was beaten ever before she went in to try to make the sale. And one day she got an opportunity to go in and visit with a lady that was a woman of means and to try to sell her this vacuum. And she made the sales presentation, and sure enough, just like all the other sales presentations she had done, this one tanked. She didn't get her words out right. It didn't come over right. And so she just wound up in this lady's house crying because she just fuddled up the presentation so much. And so with that, here she is standing in front of this woman just crying, and she begins to tell her story to this lady. And this lady, like I said, was a woman of means, and she stopped her and she said, can I give you a formula that has changed my life? She said, and it's a formula that I know can change yours too. The lady said, sure, give me whatever you can. And she went over and opened up the Bible and turned it over to the book of Romans. Let's go over there and look at it. She turned it to the book of Romans chapter 8. Now, if you've never read Romans chapter 8, that is a chapter that should be highlighted, marked up, underlined, all that. It is a potent, potent chapter in the Bible. And she opened it up to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. She said, she told this lady, this was the formula that changed her life. And notice what Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 says. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Friend, I don't care what opposition is in your way, what even person has set themselves against you. If God is for you, nothing can be against you. Like it says in the book of Acts, if it is of God, nothing can stop it. Lest haply they find themselves fighting against the Almighty, and that's a fight you never can win. If God is for you, who or what can be against you? She told this lady, she said, if God helps you sell vacuums, there's no vacuum you can't sell. If God is helping you with these sales presentations, they're going to go off better than they're going. She said, before every sales call, what I want you to do is this. Take this scripture out and say it to yourself. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, then I can sell these vacuums. God helps me sell vacuums. If God is for me, they can sell. Friend, I want you to take this and do it yourself. If God is for you this year, and He is, He's your Father. You can read the very next scripture. In fact, let's read it. Watch what He says here in verse 32. He that spared not His own Son for you, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If He gave you Jesus because He loves you, then He will freely help you sell vacuum cleaners. If God is for you, who can be against you? Go around all throughout this year saying, if God is for me, I can have joy in my home. If God helps me have joy in my home. God helps me grow a church. God helps me get in ministry. God helps all the doors that need to be open to be open. God is for you. Get your faith in Him. Have faith in God. This woman took that to heart. And before every sales call, she would say, God helps me sell vacuum cleaners. God is for me. What can be against me? She came back to the lady and said what marvelous results it was producing. Of course it does. The Word works when we work the Word. I want to encourage you, have faith in God this year. Get your faith up and get it in the right place. Have faith in God. Throughout this past week, I've been meditating on a CD that came out about a year and a half ago, maybe almost 2 years now. But it was a CD by a minister that they send out on a monthly basis. And the CD this particular month was called He Will Lift You Up, talking about God lifting you up. And I was meditating on that. Man, as I was, it was just getting all in my heart that God is a God of promotion. Man did not invent promotion. God did. And all throughout history, just in your Bible alone, you can see that when God gets under something and starts lifting it up, nothing in this world can stop it. God can lift you up. You see it in the life of Abram, taking a man and making him into a nation. You see it with Isaac. You see it with Joseph. You see it with Ruth. You see it with Esther. God coming in and lifting these individuals up. Psalm says that promotion, it doesn't come from the east or west. Promotion comes from the Lord. God can lift you up. And the reason why I remember it so much was something else that was going on at the time. During this season, when I was listening to this CD, we had an opening come up on staff. It was for our youth pastor position. My sister was over the department before, and she was moving over into preschool and nursery. So we had a pretty crucial position opening up on the church staff. And I began doing all the things in the natural, you know, I guess you can do to check your basis and see who all is out there who can take the job, and interviewing people who are just getting out of Bible school, and other youth pastors from other churches who were looking to take a step up the ladder, if you will. And my heart just couldn't settle on any of these individuals. And it was coming time to where a decision had to be made. And I was in prayer one day, and while I was praying, a certain individual came up in my heart for this position. And it was someone who a couple of months earlier the Lord had put on my heart that I thought, well, one day they may work on staff here at Word of Life. But for the youth position, I never did put two and two together. I didn't think that they would be the person for that, so I hadn't interviewed them yet. But just in prayer, I knew that they were called by God. Called by God to work that position. And so I called up this person, and they worked at the Nissan plant out in Canton at the time. And I can remember when I first met them, we were having lunch over at a Mexican restaurant downtown. And at the time, they were using their faith to get off the night shift over at the Nissan plant and get on the morning shift. And I can remember joining faith with them, even at the table, and praying that God would give them favor with the right people where they could get on the day shift. And sure enough, God came through. He lifted them up. And so I knew that they were working the day shift. And I called up trying to catch this individual at lunchtime. But I couldn't get him. I guess he was still on the line there. And so I left a voicemail on his phone. Now, it's funny, whenever you get a phone call from your pastor, people always think it's bad. I mean, it's like you're getting called to the principal's office or something. Even on staff with my employees, if I say, hey, I need to see you in my office, it's like I've read their mail or something, or I'm going to holler. So I always have to tell them, no, it's good. It's good. You're not in trouble. It's a good thing. So I made sure to tell them on the voicemail, it's good. It's a good thing. Give me a call back. And so a couple of hours later, once the work day had ended there at Nissan, he gave me a call, and I shared with him my heart, how we had this position open, and how I felt like God had called him to that position. And we went out to dinner to P.F. Chang's. And we were talking, and he was so nervous that he ordered shrimp. And at the end of the dinner, he said, this is the best chicken I've ever had. So... But we were talking over dinner, and he was saying that a couple of months earlier, the Lord had dropped ministry in his heart. He felt he was called to ministry. And it's funny how the Lord works, because this is what the Lord does, friend, when you're in prayer. He gives you the desires of your heart. It's not that he's manifesting your desires out here. He does that. But God originates desires. He is the author and the finisher. He'll pin those desires in your heart. I remember Brother Hagin talking about how him and Miss Aretha, this was his wife, were pastoring a church, and they knew that they were still called back to the church they had just left. But in their heart, they knew that, but their flesh, it didn't want to go back there. And Brother Hagin was pastoring this church, and in prayer, he said he wrestled with it for the longest time, but he knew in his heart that he was supposed to go back to that church. But he said he didn't want to do anything outside of his wife, Aretha. And so he went up to her and said, you know, if the Lord speaks to you about anything, tell me about it. Because he wanted, you know, not to sway her, but have the Lord sway her. And so he came back to her about a month later, and they were washing dishes. She would always wash the dishes, and he would dry them. And so he's drying the dishes after she washes them. And he says, has the Lord been talking to you about anything? And she said, well, no, not that I can think of. And he said, well, has he been talking to you about anything about going back to that church? And she said, you know, I thought that was just me. And he said, well, let me ask you this. Do you have any desire to go back there? Is there anything in the natural that would make you want to go back there? She said, oh, heavens no. She said, we got a better parsonage here. It's a better situation here. It's better climate here. All these different things. I think it's here. Well, he said, it couldn't be you then, could it? But she said, no, it couldn't be me. See, the Lord was pinning that on her heart. Go back to take over that church. I think it was in Farmersville, Texas. Go back and take over that church. Well, the same thing had happened to Brother Hagin. This is how the Lord works. He will pin desires on your heart. Things for you to get in faith for. They set their faith on it. And sure enough, God opened up a door where they were able to go back and preach in that church. The board came to them and said, we want to vote you in. Those types of things. That's making a long story short. But my point is God will originate, author, desires in your heart, and then when you get in faith, he'll finish them. So for this individual who was working at Nissan, we were there, and he was talking about there at the P.F. Chang's that God had been pinning this desire on his heart to go into ministry. But he didn't see any way how that could happen. He had never preached before. He didn't have any connections. He didn't have any type of training, never been to seminary, never done anything like that, didn't have any connections. So he didn't know anything else to do besides getting faith for it. And during all of this, while the Lord's prompting that in his heart, he gets that CD too. The Lord will lift you up. And began playing that over and over in his car on the way to work. He lived in Jackson, worked out there at the Nissan plant, so it was a good drive. He'd listen to it over and over again. The Lord will lift you up. The Lord will lift you up. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his Spirit. The Lord will lift you up. Supernaturally lift you up. He said, that got in my heart so strong, the Lord will lift me up, that he can promote me from Nissan over into ministry. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know the Lord will lift me up. What is that? That's Mark 11, verse 22. Have faith in God, period. Have faith in God. That's all you need to see change in your life. Have faith in God. Faith is God's tool to change everything about your life. He got in faith. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know the Lord's going to lift me up into ministry. And here he is without putting in a job request, without applying for the job. I'm in prayer and he's the person who comes up before me to hire. Never talked to him about the position before. The Lord lifted him up. The Lord set him in that place. The Lord promoted him. The Lord made that dream happen. The author and the finisher. Friend, I want to encourage you this morning. Get in faith. Get in faith. This is a new year. It's a new day. There are big opportunities on the horizon. Have faith in God. Stretch forth with the hand of faith and grab hold of all that God has for you. Oh, he's got big things. I just sense it in my heart, even for certain people here. Big things in store this year. Big, big, big things. And some of those things the Lord has already began to author on your heart. Even last year, authoring some things on your heart. Friend, he's not only the author. He is the finisher. He will finish what he authors. Friend, I'm telling you, I can remember being a scared kid almost, fresh out of Bible school, in charge of the church out on Highway 18, wondering how in the world would we ever build this facility. But in times of prayer, the Lord would author things in my heart, how to change things, how to believe for things, going to two, then three services, how to build this facility. He authored it. I stand here today and I'm telling you, friend, he has finished it. But you cannot cast away your confidence. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, do not cast away your confidence. You got to hold to it and know that He is the finisher. We just got past Christmas where we celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior. But friend, my favorite part of the story is not just His birth, but His resurrection. Because He was put in a tomb and everyone thought it was over. Everyone thought it was the end. Everyone thought nothing would come out of it. But He rose again from the grave. It's not over until it's over. And when He rose up victorious. It's not over. You may have dreams in your heart that feel like they're in a tomb. God authored them, and it feels like they've been shut away, maybe even for years, but you feel like they've been shut away in your heart, just in the tomb in your own heart, almost dead and buried. Other people have given up on Him, just like Jesus had people give up on Him when He was in the tomb. All of His closest followers followed afar off because they, in their minds, didn't even think it could happen. Maybe that's happened in your life. The Lord's authored some things in your heart and you feel like they're shut away on the inside. And other people who once believed in the dream now have drifted away. I'm here to tell you this morning. I'm here to tell you that dream's going to rise again. God's the author and the finisher. He will bring that dream out of your heart and place it in your life if you don't give up on it. But you got to make a decision to get in faith and believe that not only did He author that thing, but He will be faithful to finish it. He will be faithful to perform it. He will be faithful to perfect it. You got to get in faith. Make a decision right now. Right now. It doesn't matter who's walked away. It doesn't matter who doesn't believe in the dream anymore. What matters is, do you believe? Do you believe? If you believe, all things are possible. If you believe, God can line up event. I've seen Him do it, friend. Event after event. Just line it up. Line, and all you got to do is walk it out. It's so easy and it's such a flow when He does it. Just lines it up. But it starts with faith. You got to pick up that dream again. And with faith, believe that God will finish everything that He started. Oh, amen. I could preach to you all day. You're listening so good. But I'll refrain. Keep coming back. Let God finish it. He'll finish it as quickly as He authored it. Instantly. When He dropped it in your heart, it's like a picture appeared. I could live that. I could walk in that. But then there is patience. It's with faith and patience. And what happens is people get weary and well-doing in that patient season. And they faint. Don't let it happen. I'm here to tell you, this is a year where your biggest expectations can come true. But you got to get in faith. You got to pick that confidence back up and say, this thing will rise again. It may be in the tomb in my heart, but it's coming out alive and kicking, and the whole world will see it. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name, the author and the finisher. I thank